No,
it's
I don't think so.
It's actually really sweet.
Ooh. I like it.
It's got a medicinal flavor.
It's mostly honey.
That's what I really pick up on, is a lot of honey.
No, I do not like it.
Just a tiny hint.
Yum. Tastes like cigar smoke.
Michigoni and degree. All the best podcasts are free. Not a ginger and witty. Playing games and drinking pee. Call a pound stone, never lie. The best podcast for its size. So hang out with your new best friend. With a friend for idiot.
Hello, Earth. This is Grand Rapidians Play Video Games. We're a video game podcast about beer and video games.
Hell yeah.
My name is Ginger.
My name is Willie. My pronouns are he, him.
Mine are they, them.
And with us today, we have special guest Kevin Cole.
Hi, I'm Kevin Cole. My pronouns are also he, him.
Nice.
He is the creator of many a cool video games and the TTRPG Space Kings, which we fucking love the hell out of.
Aw, hell yeah, thanks, we do. Guys.
I was just telling a new coworker about Space Kings.
Aw, that's so nice.
Uh-huh. Now that our D&D campaign is done, we need to start a new one.
Or we can continue with my body horror one. Anyways, is there anything else you'd like to plug, Kevin?
I recently made a new game. I made a little game in a jam called Bird Bulls, B-R-D-B-L-S. That you're a small bird jumping your way through a facility with a lot of bubbles in it. And it's cute and fun and very short. It's kind of like a little mini Metroidvania, except it's not really a Metroidvania. It's just a big loopy level that goes all over.
I mean, everything's a Metroidvania nowadays.
Yeah. You just got to kind of free your mind of what a Metroidvania is, honestly. You know?
It's probably a boomer shooter, too, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's a card battler in many ways. it's on itch.io if you want to go to supertry.itch.io and play a free game in your browser. It's fun and good. Yeah.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. And you can play most of your Super Try games for free in browser at itch.io.
Yeah, and you can also find Space Kings there, or you can go to spacekings.space.
I highly recommend it. Oh, Ginger, what should we do first? A word?
Whatever's clever.
Kevin, have you heard the word? Heard about the word?
I don't think I've been exposed to the word yet.
So I've got a dictionary of unusual, obscure, and preposterous words. And so I'll give us a word definition at the beginning of the episode. Mm-hmm. And whoever can use it after the quote wins the episode.
Okay, so there are stakes here.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So the word today is varietist. Varietist is an unorthodox person. Or someone who practices unorthodox sex is a varietist.
A varietist. Okay. I feel like we're all a little unorthodox on this podcast. By virtue of being on a podcast.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some varietists and defipples, but I said that too early. You gotta find the quote. The fipple is a word for the upper lip. That was a word from another episode.
The fipple.
All right, the quote, though. So, what they do is to build a bomb shelter out there. Greg.
Okay, Greg.
He was into bomb shelters back in 1996. Either early or late. I mean, people were into those in the 50s.
Look, I'm thirsty. I'm jumping right into
drinks. Ginger, what's your beverage? You got a Red Bull.
I have a Dragon Fruit Red Bull. It's my favorite.
It's the green one.
Nice.
It's the emerald green one, because there's another new green one. I forget the flavor, but it's really good, too.
That's what it's called. Really good. The other green one.
So, this one's 5 out of 5. I love this Red Bull. It's my favorite. The dragon fruit.
It's good. I give it 4.75 out of 5, but I think we've done that before on the show. So let's do something new. Something ridiculous. From Monster Energy, we have a can of Tour Water with no caffeine. It's just deep well water from Monster in a can.
So they basically took our...
I mean, normally when well I think water? Of a tour, I don't think of quality water. Unless they're touring in, like, Evian, France or something.
Or I think of very expensive water.
But this is Vans Warped Tour, Tour Water. So that does not make me think of Evian, France. You know what? It's cold. It's water.
Hmm.
It's good. It's refreshing, and it seems like normal water. Ginger, would you like to read any of that ridiculous advertising print on the side?
I don't know.
Okay, skip it then.
I'll read the last bit. It doesn't give you energy, but what the fuck? You gotta drink water sometimes or else you're gonna die.
That's true.
It doesn't give you energy is I think patently false. I think you'll find you're rather low energy when you're dehydrated.
Valid. Yeah.
You know, when I was at the gas station yesterday, I was behind a guy who was buying a Dr. Pepper, and he was telling the cashier that he hadn't drank water in 4 years.
Oh, I bet he stinks.
And he thought his body was getting used to it. I couldn't smell him, but I didn't want to hang out with him.
Oh, I bet if he goes to the doctors, they're going to be pissed.
Once they find his kidney stones.
I've got a non-water drinker in my friend group who's weirdly proud of the fact that he doesn't drink water and kind of tries to justify it constantly. I think they know there's something wrong.
Like, if you pick them up and shake them, will they sound like a maraca? Because of their kidney stones?
Because of the kidney stones, yeah.
I don't know. My grandfather hated water, and it sent him to the emergency room multiple times for extreme constipation from being dehydrated. So drink water, and you might have some money left after retirement.
Was it your dad's dad or your mom's
dad?
Yes,
my dad's
dad. Okay. That explains a lot. Love him so much. R.I.P. Uh-huh.
Kevin, do you have a beverage today before I get
I
my
do.
Beer out?
I will be drinking a alcoholic beverage today. I'm trying to get into Campari.
Okay.
I've been watching a bartending anime where they drink fancy cocktails, and I tried to make a fancy cocktail from the show, and I was like, this is... I made a Old Pal, which is an equal parts cocktail of Campari, rye, and dry vermouth, and I had a sip of it, and I'm like, this isn't good. I hate this.
With dry vermouth. That could do it.
Campari is super bitter.
Right?
Campari is very... it's bitter. On its own, it tastes like ash a little bit. Oh. But on all, like, the bartending forums, they're like, yeah, it's very herbal. You just gotta wake it up. So, and they're also like, it's an acquired taste, and most people are like, hey, you can sub Campari out for Aperol or whatever. But then there are real freaks who are just drinking it straight and being like, yeah, I'm the greatest bartender ever lived, and I just drink Campari on the rocks. So, whoa. I love clout, and I want to acquire this taste, so I'm aggressively trying to acquire a taste for Campari, having spent $30 on this stupid bottle of red sludge.
It's bright red like a fruit punch. And you just pour some into a nice whiskey glass, about two fingers over some big cubes.
Yeah, it smells like ash. Like it literally smells like something that was burnt and then made wet. It's very herbal. I like Fernet, which is also very herbal. But I think I've made the Old Pal since my first attempt, and it was way better because I learned about like dilution and like the water has to wake up the spirit and all this kind of stuff. So I'm gonna try a sip now when it's not very diluted. Oh, that's so bitter. So harsh.
You need to mix it with some Malort.
I think anything would help.
That will help.
Malort.
Malort Moxie. Another acquired taste.
I'm going to say 1.5 out of 10 right now. Yeah. I am not acquiring this taste. It's so, so bitter. But hopefully, if I keep gently clinking this in the background, I'm sorry. But hopefully the ice will melt a little bit and it'll dilute. And it might go up. My impression of it might go up by the end. But
all right. No, that'll make great background noise. It'll be like Bob's Party Time Cafe by Primus.
Ooh.
I know.
Okay, actually, second sip. Not as bad. Not okay. as much as a punch in the face. I am getting a little bit of that sweetness coming out a little bit. It's still up.
Yeah.
Still brutal, a 1 out of 10.
1.5, he says.
Yeah, we're climbing up to like 1.75.
All right.
I think I've seen it in a Yakuza, like a dragon game, but other than that, yeah. I've never had it.
Yeah, it's they're in Negronis. There's lots of stuff that uses Campari.
Nice.
I think. Yeah, it does taste very herbal, but I could not tell you what herb it is trying to remind me of.
Herb ash.
Just burnt.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I have a beer here from the Great Lakes Brewing Ooh. Company, a local beer.
Ooh. All right.
I have just the IPA. The small batch IPA.
Ooh.
Sweet.
Yeah. I guess they made a small batch of a different IPA.
Nice crack. Nice burp.
Why, thank you.
Into the iris.
I didn't like your burp smell, though.
No, it probably smelled like the other IPA I drank earlier. But this IPA is good. It is, it's grainy and hoppy. I'm not sure which grains they use, but it has more of, like, a wheat-like flavor.
Okay.
Than, like, a full-on hot barley. It might be a wheat. Beer
probably a lot of the good ones are.
Yeah, it does have a nice citrus and floral more than piney hop taste. I like it. It's a good one. 6% alcohol. I'm gonna give it 4.5 out of 5.
Legendary.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna chug this Red Bull, y'all. I'm gonna have some big burp
and then I'll give you the monster water.
All right, we'll be right back with Real Life XP.
After these messages, we'll be right back. That's where you say yeehaw. No?
Yeehaw.
This episode is brought to you by Fartos, Flamin' Hot Flavor.
That's what happens after you eat anything with Flamin' Hot Flavor and you get gassy.
Shit happened.
Fartos.
Terrorists win.
Ginger, it's time for Real Life XP.
TMCR LLC GRPVG.
Yes. And all of the other letters, come too, just in case.
Whoa.
Yes. Will, what's your Real Life XP?
So, yeah, I'll go first. My Real Life XP is for work. I went and worked out of town, and they put us up in the closest place to stay near where we were working, which was a casino. And so for the first time, I got some free drinks. I got some comps at a casino. I went down and I registered for the card and got some free play. And somebody was walking around saying, drinks, drinks. And I said, oh, sure. Let me get a beer. And they just brought me a free beer while I was gambling with the free money that the casino gave me.
Hell,
I did.
Yeah.
I did end up losing like $8 that night. But I got like 3 or 4 beers, so I just figured I was paying for cheap beers, you know?
Hey, that's
a million percent.
Yeah. And I also got to play, I'm going to throw a quick diss in here in my Real Life XP.
Okay.
Whoa!
I got to play the worst House of the Dead game ever. House of the Dead Scarlet Dawn on Reels as a House of the Dead video slot machine. I put in $5. I was like, I'm waiting for a game that I want to play before I put my $5 bill in something. I found House of the Dead. I put that in. I pressed the button twice, and I was out of money. I didn't even get to see any fucking zombie animations. Nothing happened.
That's lame.
So, yep.
Brutal.
But for trying it, I think that's worth, like, about 666,000 points.
Whoa.
I think
for
that's
playing
fair.
House of the Dead Scarlet Dawn on Reels. Cool.
Nice.
Ginger.
Oh, me next.
What's your real life XP?
Oh, I actually am just about done with training with my new job. I'm not going to put it out on our podcast where I'm working. Just not going to do that, but I am excited that I'm almost done with the training because there's a lot of training, which is fine. I'm fine with that. I'm just ready to, like, get my own groove and do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. How many points do you want? At least 5 million.
I'll take 50,000.
Whoa.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Nice. Dude, clip that. That was good.
Put it with the other one.
Oh, shit. Kevin, what's your real life XP?
I got on a plane recently. I flew over not to the West Coast, but I flew across the country. I briefly touched the West Coast. I flew across the country to Seattle, and then from Seattle down to beautiful Boise, Idaho. I got invited to be at a tech. It's a music festival called Tree Fort. And they have like another fort within the music festival called Hack Fort. And they wanted me to talk about video games and stuff. And they're like, we'll pay for your hotel. And I was like, hell yeah. So I hadn't been on a plane since like third grade.
I've never been on one.
It's not amazing.
I hear
it's just
bad.
Kind of a. It's just kind of like being on a bus, but like also you're spitting in God's face at the same time. Like,
I mean, why am I not doing this more?
So wait,
I mean, that makes it sound cool.
So you went to Seattle, Washington, as a stop on your way to Boise, Idaho.
Yeah. So that was my first time touching down on.
I thought Idaho was closer. Then.
It is, but there's no direct flight from, or at least there's no cheap direct flight from Boston to Boise.
Gotcha.
So I had to go all the way up and then to Seattle, to Frasertown, and then go down. the flight wasn't too bad. I got to, like, watch Rocky for the first time, which I hadn't seen.
Dominating.
I got a free beer on the plane, which felt pretty cool.
Nice.
Hell, and you didn't
even have to gamble. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I was gambling with my life.
I mean, it was a different gambling.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said something, Kevin.
I weirdly wasn't very freaked out, like, flying. Like, thought, I'm like, we'll see. I don't know everything that goes on up in my brain. I don't know if I'd suddenly figure out, like, flying freaks me out, but it was actually kind of chill. I was flying from, you know, it was a long flight and everyone on there seemed to kind of get the deal, but I had like a secret, like, sky only IPA from I forget which brewer, but the fact that it was just a secret IPA you can only get when you're flying was very fun.
I want to go take a flight so I can check into one on Untapped.
I wonder if your uncle can get you one.
Right.
He's a pilot.
Or maybe I'll just go try and work on the airport at the airport. See if I can get one there.
I bet. I bet there's all kinds of illicit airplane only beer trade going on.
No airplane food is safe for me because of my food allergies.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Always risky. always in danger. But yeah, that was my real life XP. Like, obviously the festival is awesome, and getting to meet people there was cool, and seeing a new state and city was very, very neat. I don't really travel or leave Massachusetts very much or at all. But
just, I can tell by your flannel.
Yeah.
It's a nice one. It actually looks like a Seattle flannel.
Oh. It's been repaired a few times because my cat will just kind of latch onto it. So I've got
badass. You got elbow patches.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I've got like these battle patches on my elbows from all the kitty scratches I've got. So yeah, that's my real life experience. Was I got on a plane, which I hadn't done since 9/11.
Flew through the air. Wow. Yeah.
How many points?
I will give myself. I wish I could calculate like how far my flight was, but I'm just giving myself 50,000 points. Right? That sounds good. 50,000 experience points for Kevin. Good job.
All right. Good job, Kevin.
Thank you. Campari update, still bad. Still the ice is diluted a little bit more. And I'm a little more used to it. Still, we're actually going back down, probably a 1.25.
Still ashy.
It's still ashy. Still, my tummy feels good. Like honestly, it's settling my stomach real nice in the way that Fernet does. But I'm not thriving.
And with that, y'all, we'll be right back with games.
Hey, me. What game you play? Can I do that?
Will, what game you play?
I played a game on the Playdate. I played the new Lucas Pope game, Mars After Midnight.
Oh my god, how was it?
It was pretty fun. It was interesting.
Nice.
I mean, it's not like a Twitch gaming experience or anything. And the story was kind of environmental storytelling. Mm-hmm. It was strange, but it was fun. So you play as a Martian on Mars, and you're doing community service, and you have to let the right people into the support meetings.
Okay.
So the screen, is a wide rectangle, and it's like a mail slot, and you use the crank to open it, and you can see who's outside. You can move the camera up and down, and you have to let the Martians or humans or robots who fit the criteria into the meeting, and you have to help. Okay. You start in like a Martian colony, and then there's an Earth colony on Mars that you can get a ticket to eventually, and then after that, there's Earth.
Okay.
And
Earth being the hardest, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I'll get to it. Okay. The meetings are, some of them are, like one is the Shy Smiler Club. And you have to open the door just a little bit. And if you see them smiling and you open it more and they stop smiling, then you let them in. And you also have to provide food, snacks that the people like. So to set up each meeting, you pick which meeting you're going to do, and you pick where you're going to advertise the meeting, and you have to spend a couple dollars to spread flyers where the people are that need help. And then you have to pick a snack food that everybody likes. And then when you pick somebody that, comes in, like there's one, some of them you have to buy a accessory for. Like there's one, like people who can do math. And for that one, you buy a calculator, and if you press the B button, and it comes up with a math problem, you show it to the alien. And then the alien says a number, and if they say the right number, you let them in. And if they say the wrong number, then you don't let them in. So you have to do the math in your head, too.
What if you let one in that shouldn't be there? Do you just automatically lose?
No, there's no penalty. Each one that is supposed to be there gives you, like, $2 Mars. And each one that isn't supposed to be there I mean, if they like the food, they'll still give you $2 for the food, but they won't give you money for the meeting. And there will still be okay. another person out there who needs help.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Like okay. another one is a vampire recipe swap. And it gives you an x-ray thing. And so you have to look at everyone's skull and see if they have vampire fangs, like under their teeth
uh-huh.
or under their skin.
Oh, that's funny.
But then after each person that you let in, they come in and they see the snacks and they usually make a mess of the table. And you're like an alien with three eyes and a beak and you're kind of octopus-like. You walk on three tentacles and you have like two tentacle arms. And you have to pick up everything on the, off the table with your tentacle arms, stack it on top of each other, pick it up. And then you use the crank to clean all the dirt and crumbs off the table.
Then yeah, you put like the, a sweeper comes
yeah,
back.
Yeah, sweeper comes out
and then
and
it
goes
comes back.
And then you have to place everything back down in the correct order on the table. And then you go back to the door and you let the next person in.
That sounds very cute.
It is.
It is. And it's surprising, like, what they have been able to do on the play date with some of these games.
The alien faces look great. Like, you know, there's different numbers of eyes and noses and mouths and rearranged. And then there's also robots and people. There's a,
okay.
a merchant called Sherb. And
Sherb?
Yeah, if you answer the door with for him, you can buy cartridges that will open up new support groups.
Ooh, that's cool.
And yeah, you have to, the cartridges you hold in two hands, and you have to put it over the slot and press A and B at the same time to get it into the slot. After each meeting, oh yeah, that's cool.
That's genius. That's genius.
He fit so much into this like one-bit playdate game. Oh, I forgot the word. I was going to try and use it.
You can't look it up again.
Damn it.
Oh, crap. I forgot it, too.
It was like vasectomy or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vivialist. No, that wasn't it. God damn it.
I was like, I should write this down. And they're like, no, I'll remember. I love words.
So, yeah. Mars After Midnight. You make these snacks for everybody. You help all the people. And the merchant, Sherb. I was talking about the merchant, Sherb.
That's mm-hmm. it, yeah, Sherb.
You can buy the cartridges. And, yeah, a couple knocks later, after you order from Sherb, like the delivery robot will drop off whatever you order.
That's awesome.
And to get from the first area to the second area, after you get all of the cartridges, you have to buy a teddy bear that is, like, just useless. But you're never going to be able to afford the $100,000 for the ticket to the next area because you're making, like, $10-$12 per mission or per meeting.
Yeah.
But when you buy the teddy bear, Sherb thanks you by giving you a free ticket.
Oh, hell yeah.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's what's up, Sherb.
And the same thing at the next area. On Earth, it's $1,000,000 for a ticket to Earth.
Damn.
But once you help most of the people, I had one person left to help that I missed. From, what was the one I missed a person on? One of them was to see if people have ESP powers. And so first you have to buy a Blabodex translator. And the aliens make a sound effect that sounds almost like what they say, like after each meeting, when you guys go to bed, they go like, and they make a noise cute. That almost sounds like good night. There's
okay.
your character, and there's the robot who like sits and listens to everybody and helps them. But also, when you're doing the psychic test, the noises they make almost sound like square or waves or circle. They'll go,
Mm-hmm.
But when you buy the Blabodex, you can pause it and it will show you exactly what they said. So it's like a translator for the Martian language. And
I love that.
Yeah. I forgot that they had to get three in a row right, and so I let somebody in who had like only one right. So I had to go do that mission again. Yeah. had to buy some more. Like, the snacks are weird. Like, one of them is a fish that's, like, just sliced up. But there's also, like, ice. It's just, like, ice. iced tea, like, or something. Ice. But, yeah. Another one, a meeting with robots where you just have to, like, stack the batteries, right? And they, like, take a charge off the batteries. There's like
that's hilarious.
There's like a cronuts where you gotta stack donuts, basically.
Oh, that's cool. Uh-huh. Yeah, I enjoyed watching you play this, and I think you're like, help me with some of the faces.
I wanted help with the Shy Smiles one. The first time I did it, I only let one of the right people in.
Dang.
But it was a different one.
Yeah, but on the ride to that casino that I went to, I wasn't driving, so I got to finish the game.
Nice.
I completed it. Spoilers for the end of the game. After you complete the second colony, and your Sherb is like, I can't go with you to Earth, but, you know, good luck. You jump on the rocket ship, going to Earth, shows it off in the distance, starts playing the credits. And, you know, every time after you finished each mission in each session, it would be like, 57 Martians need help. And then the next time, you know, 43 Martians need help. After the credits play, you're on your way to Earth, and it says 8,437,727,000,000 humans need help.
Whoa.
But that's the end of the game.
Whoa.
And so, yeah.
That's valid.
It's true. We all need help.
And snacks.
Aliens. Yeah. Come down. Help.
I don't think one community meeting with five other people is going to do it. But, probably, you know.
But it could.
It wouldn't hurt.
Spread. Like Corona or something. I mean, if it could spread like that, that'd be great. No, like happiness and help.
Yeah. Community.
Anyways.
So yeah, that's Mars After Midnight. Lots of opening the door after you hear a knock. And then closing it when you're like, no, you don't have vampire fangs. Or no, you can't do math. Or one of them is Nat knife fighting skills. And for that one, you get a magnifying glass. And every person coming in, well, every person that you need to let in is like a little tiny dot flying around. You pull out the magnifying glass, and if they have a knife, you let them in. Or, I also had a couple, like, Martians show up, but I was like, no, you're not a gnat. You can't come in. But everybody's always trying to come in to get the free snacks.
I mean, snacks.
Midnight community service. Help everybody out, you know?
Okay, and that's why you don't let too many people in, because they eat the free snacks. Yeah.
Like Eric Cartman said, more people come if we have punch and pie. He wasn't wrong.
That's exactly what I thought. The picture is pie, usually.
Excellent.
The first thing you serve is pie. So, I mean, sure, it's like dune bug pie, but...
It's pie.
Yeah.
Someone will like it.
I'll have a bite. Like, you know.
Might as well try it. What if it's the yummiest thing you've ever tried?
Yeah.
It tells you ahead of time, like, if people who live in certain neighborhoods like it. And so you can always pick a food that everyone coming to the meeting will like.
There are regional taste variants. That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
Select your player.
Kevin.
Hello.
I'm going to ask you what game you play.
I play, have you guys heard of a little game called Celesta?
Is that Celeste?
No, this is Solasta, Crown of the Magister.
Oh, Solasta. Right. Yeah.
Solasta. All right. Yeah. So, picture in your mind Baldur's Gate 3. And then just beat it for a while, just really mess it up. Make it jankier, make it vaguely French. And make it look like a launch title for the Xbox 360. And you'll get a video game that is also based on fifth edition Dungeons and Dragons. And it's sort of the, it's been described as the Baldur's Gate mom says we have at home.
What system are you playing this on? PC?
I'm playing this on PC, but it, I believe it's also available on PS4 and 5 or something.
It sounds familiar. I wonder if it was on Game Pass too.
I would imagine so. I super want to see more from this developer because it's this combination of like really like good execution and like high concept, and also just really bad execution and low concept where like when you make a character, you fill out their like dialogue personality, because all of the characters, so when a cutscene starts, you don't select dialogue options for the characters. The characters just kind of interject their own personality barks based on if you said they were violent or kind or cynical or whatever. So you kind of, you make your little party, and then like you get to see them act like you said they would act in the cutscene, and you're like, Kevin, that sounds amazing, with proper voice acting and a killer script that accounts for all of this variance. That would be really cool. I was going to
say, it sounds like you're not playing.
Yeah. It's bad. It's tedious. The world is not, the world kind of, the world like vacillates between being really unique and also being the most generic thing in the entire world, like just generic fantasy. But like lizard people are invading, but they're not lizard people, and they're not dragonborn. Those are different things. These are Sorax. Nobody thinks Sorax exist, but Sorax are shapeshifters from underground, and everyone on the High Council is like, no, Sorax can't possibly exist, but you fought them and you've seen them. So it's like it's Mass Effect. I'm realizing they're just doing the Reapers from Mass Effect again, where you have to.
What are the lizard people from Magic the Gathering?
Vashino.
Yeah.
I love a lizard variant. I love a new lizard guy. They can also phase.
So
you know. Yeah.
I was just saying how much I am always the Argonian in like Skyrim, so I can run away from the dragons. Oh,
they
if
can
I run
breathe underwater.
One. Yes.
I just finished a Magic the Gathering novel where one of the Vashino lizards, he could swim through sand and desert like it was water.
Ooh, sweet.
So he, cool.
Plus he's like 7 feet tall and, you know, handles knives very well. So that was
cool. Was that a new one or an old one?
It was an old one. Mid-ops.
Nice. Probably. That was an Onslaught, was it?
No, like Time Shift.
Oh, cool. Something. So, yeah. The Onslaught cycle is like my favorite magic novel cycle. It's got a lot of cool stuff in there.
Hell yeah. Last year I read like all 15, 16 novels I had. And then Ginger got me some more for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
But I didn't have the last one in a series, so then I bought myself like 5 more and I just finished them all.
Thrift books.
Dude,
for the win.
I love those books.
Uh-huh.
I love that stuff. Magic's different now. Celesta, like, it could be anything. It could be absolutely anything it wants to be. And it's just like, you get two kinds of dwarfs, two kinds of elves, and two kinds of halfling. You get to be a swamp halfling, which I think is great. Like,
hell yeah.
Yeah, you get to be a weird swampy little guy. Or you could be a snow dwarf, which have everything. You have like cold resistance, you have like crossbow proficiency. Like, if you're a snorf, like things are going good for you.
Do you play with a whole team, a party?
Yeah, you get a party of 4, and there is co-op, but I haven't done the co-op yet. They take a lot from XCOM. The battles feel very like XCOM-y. And I love that. Like, stealth is like really important. Like, setting up your ambush is big. Like, you kind of have to have a rogue in the party. Like, because rogues are just really, really important to like the whole flow of the game, like picking locks and setting up ambushes and stuff. You can go on Overwatch, which you couldn't do in Baldur's Gate 3. You can go on Overwatch and like prepare a spell or a range attack or whatever. So I'm like, I'm all about that. Like, that's cool as hell. But like, what? You know, there's
so
not
Overwatch is good.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you get like that reaction hit in and it's okay. Like, it's like, yeah, I got you.
The enemies don't really. Damn.
No, you can't. And it's a missed opportunity. Everything moves around on like a cube grid or whatever, where like a lot of the enemies have climbing ability and they'll just like get up on the ceiling or the walls and stuff.
Ooh.
And it's like blowing my mind because I'm like, oh man, three-dimensional combat. Like, like again, Baldur's Gate, like for simplicity's sake, doesn't really lean into that a whole lot. You can be like way up high and you can kick dudes off ledges. But this is more like you're fighting on a 2D plane and your enemies are fighting on a 3D plane and you have to learn how to engage them until you like unlock the spider climb spell and stuff like that. So like it nails certain aspects of, yeah, it's really fun. But like, you know, it's just, you got to get used to the story and the characters not being much of anything. but it's kind of charming in that way, where like the characters are just kind of snarking, and whenever dialogue happens, all the dialogue is just like shot reverse shot of all four of your characters lined up in the same neutral pose, like they're four Commander Shepherds just standing next to each other.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre, and there's only like one like armor set per armor type, so like half of your dudes are dressed exactly the same. The character creator is absolute garbage. The UI looks like it's from a mobile game. I have to remind everyone that I do like this game and I'm enjoying my time with it.
Does it follow D&D rules, or does it it up a little bit?
It changes up a lot. It feels like somebody who just like downloaded the free stuff online and was like, it feels like a teenager who just downloaded the free stuff online and is like, I'm going to add my own rules. And it's like, here's a feat that gives you more armor class. And I want to be like, okay, well, so the thing about giving you more armor class is like that kind of ruins the, like, armor class is very, very good. And like, you kind of got to be really careful about how you dole that out, but the game doesn't care. It's like, no, armor class is cool. So you can have more armor class if you want.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
I like getting OP.
Yeah, this is very easy to get OP in. Also, rangers are actually good in this game. like, I don't know, because there's like a travel component, and like before you long rest, you need rations, and rangers have access to casting Goodberry. So unless you want to carry around these very heavy box lunches all the time. you gotta have one dude shooting good berries out of his fists, and then it's so strange. It solves a lot of problems that I have with Baldur's Gate and a lot of problems that I have with D&D 5, and it manages to highlight what I like about D&D 5 a lot, despite me being kind of sick of playing D&D 5. I'm having a lot of fun just doing these little XCOM style encounters in Celasta. The boss fights are really, really good. It's good. The puzzles are nothing. They don't know how to do a puzzle. It's puzzles just moving a block, and there's no wrong way to do it.
Pushing a box.
It's just finding the. Yeah, it's just literally just you push the blocks. Okay, now I can go. It's like, oh, I have to find the thing to click on here, and it's just a weird little speed bump. But
I do like Goodberry. The last D&D campaign,
you have.
I was a half orc druid named Zancreus. And
yes,
I cast a lot of good berries.
He did.
The other thing is, all of this is like DLC gated to hell, where like you do get a full adventure and like you can download new adventures or whatever. But like, if you want, I think the only classes you have access to in the base are rogue, fighter, ranger, cleric, wizard, and sorcerer. And then if you want like barbarian or monk or bard or warlock or druid, like those are all behind the gate.
$5 each, $10 each? What are we talking
you
here?
Wish, dude. It's like $15 each.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
it's gotta make your money somehow.
Yeah, I mean, it's often on sale. Like, the base game is $30. I got it for $10. I feel like that's a big W. I might even say that it's probably worth $30 because I don't really miss the extra classes that much. But yeah, the fact that it's so carved up like into these DLC packages kind of makes me roll my eyes. But I think it does go on steep discount pretty often. So whatever. Nice. It's more just a neutral kind of thing. Yeah, it's just a truly bizarre game with how much, like, it refuses to cut anything bad about itself. It refuses to, like, hold that back from you. It's gonna be like, we spent a lot of time making this very bad content, and you're gonna look at it, even though you don't have to. but other stuff it just does fantastically well. So I don't know. I'm having a good time with Celesta. If it's on sale and you're feeling like a little bit of an XCOM or D&D vibe, it does have co-op. I haven't played the co-op yet. But I kind of started out like not liking it, and then being like, well, it's weird that it does one thing right, and then I kept finding things that it did right, and slowly liking more and more about it, and so it's kind of won me over at this point. Maybe it's like the Campari of D&D 5e based video games.
Yeah, how is the Campari?
That's still bad, but it's like the sip I just took is still pretty bad, but it's not the worst sip I've ever had of anything.
Yeah,
it might go up to a 2.5.
The tactical battles going up on the walls and the ceilings sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Is there gravity mages instead of time mages or something?
No. There's like
missed opportunity.
That I know of, there's no real gravity play. There's not a lot of creativity in the spell selection, a lot of its copies. But they do add a cantrip that I think D&D should just steal. And the cantrip is called Annoying Bee. and when you cast Annoying Bee, you deal piercing damage and the target has disadvantage on concentration saving throws. And I'm like, that's great. It's silly and good. I think that should be homebrew.
It sounds kind of like Ginger's favorite spell. There's a snake
boot
in my
snake.
Boot. Boot snake.
Boot snakes.
I boot snaked a dragon in our last campaign. What else did I boot snake?
It makes the enemy think that there's a snake in their boot.
It's the funniest shit ever.
Does it do psychic or poison damage, or is it non-damaging?
It's non-damaging. It distracts
like
them.
Yeah,
I believe.
It's like something
it worked out
about
great,
a saving throw. It did. It was like someone's homebrew. But it
that's
was
fantastic.
So worth it. I laughed. I was like, boot snake, that's just silliness. I need it. And every time I used it, everyone's like, that's so fucking ridiculous. Why do you have boot snake? It fucking works so good.
Because it works on dragons.
You're up against a dragon, you're like, boot snake.
Yeah.
And then the boot snake arc is
like,
complete.
There's a snake
in my
boot. So funny.
Ginger, what game you play?
I play Botany Manor.
Okay.
And that is on Game Pass. I would say this is a puzzle game where you have to figure out how to grow different flowers.
So also gardening.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd it as much as I did. I was like, at first, I'm like, this is whatever.
Isn't it a first-person shooter?
Well, it's kind of set up in, like, first-person, like, visuals,
if you
will.
But
you
don't have any guns?
No, you have to carry around pots.
I mean, you could use a squirt gun. That would be cool.
You do use a watering can.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. First-person watering.
So, like, you go into this manor, and each flower that you grow, it, like, will unlock a door here or something over there. Like, you have to interact with other items to figure out how to get these plants to grow.
What kind of other items? Is it like myth style puzzles where you have to play the right thing on a keyboard or what?
I haven't got to that yet, but
is it like Resident Evil styles, or I mean Tomb Raider style stuff where you gotta like swing on a vine? Wait, no, that's Pitfall. What do you do in Resident Evil? You like hang from a ledge and move over. Do you have to do that?
No. Okay. You'll be walking through the manor and there's like a note laying there, and it will be like from someone, and it will kind of leave hints about what you have to do to get these flowers to grow.
That does sound Resident Evil style.
I haven't played enough Resident Evil.
Yeah, there's cryptic notes that you have to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
While you survive zombies.
All of a sudden, there will be a key there. Just like a magical key.
Okay.
And then you get through the next area. I haven't gotten to all the flowers, but it's kind of cool. You have a pot. You grab a pot. Like a clay pot.
Okay.
And then there's a thing of soil. You put the soil in, and then you put the seed in, you water it, and then you figure it out. Like the first one, it wanted is like a windmill flower or some shit. So.
Oh, cool.
Like okay, the so Dutch, wants wind or something? They needed some airflow at them. Okay.
So it's not real plants? It's like made up plants?
I haven't, like, compared to see if it was real or
windmill
made up.
Flower that needs wind. I mean, it makes me think you're growing a pinwheel that, like, spins.
It did.
Yeah, that sounds like a fake plant. But, I mean, you can do that in games.
Yeah. I mean, they might be named after real flowers. And there's another flower where you had to put it in the smoking shed, like the meat smoking shed. Because it liked warm heat to then grow. Another one you needed.
Did that one have petals that look like steaks or something?
No.
Okay.
You had to
What was it called? Do you know?
No.
The meat flower?
And my phone's right there.
There's no way to know.
Mm-hmm. Done fucked up. So I couldn't look through.
It's spoilers anyway. It's spoilers for flowers.
So. For real though,
we're just protecting our listeners.
It's great. It's still a great fucking game. I got to the third area and then I went back to Tales of Arise for a little bit.
Nice.
So I've bounced in between Brotato, still playing Brotato.
Nice.
Such a fun game. And then Tales of Arise to tell Willy that I'm still playing that, because he's like, after Final Fantasy VII, you're not gonna.
I
am.
I just didn't think you were gonna go back to it.
I like the Tales games.
I thought you were playing Eiyuden Chronicle.
I started that too.
That
it's
seems
like
more
the Heroes, the 100 Heroes. But I haven't played enough of that to really talk about it, besides.
Teaser for upcoming episodes.
Mm-hmm. And I'll have to come back with some shit we missed about Botany Manor, because I do want to finish it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Need some help.
It was a pretty chill game. Like, and I love flowers and plants and stuff, so.
Yeah,
you
it sounds really cool.
You did call a good one, Will. Will's like, you'll this.
I downloaded it and said, here, try this one if you want.
Aw.
I was like, ugh. And then I did, and I liked it. Like, someone
Dude,
knows
flowers.
Me. Wow.
I have one more playdate game I played I could talk about quick a minute.
If you'd like to.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's called Root Bear.
Oh.
And yeah, it's a game where you serve root beer or beer to bears. Mm. And it's pretty cool.
I actually know one of the devs for that, who worked on that game. We've hung out and had beers several times now. Alex Sussman contributed to that game, and he's super cool. He's a Boston guy. So
nice,
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a fun game. You have a time limit, and the bears come out, and there's I think it's beer instead of root beer because of the different glasses that you fill. There's like snifters, there's pint glasses, there's pitchers. You know, whoever made this game, they definitely knew their beer glasses. Yeah, because they have, if you're at a brewery, you know, they got 7 different kinds of glasses. They're all in root beer.
Yeah. You gotta have the right
that's pretty glass cute.
For the beer. Yeah.
That's really cool. You know them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and the bear reactions to how you pour are also very fun. Like,
yeah, the bears, they're very much like if like Yogi and Boo Boo were drawn by the artist from Ren and Stimpy, like yeah, the way they react.
That's pretty sweet.
It definitely reminds me of like the Ren and Stimpy close-ups.
Nice.
Yeah, they're very fun and meme-y kind of expressive reactions.
Uh-huh.
It's good. I love Root Bear. It was done as like a jam game too, and then they just kind of picked up a lot of support post jam, and they kept like polishing up a little bit, and eventually like Playdate kind of was like, "Hey, you're kind of killing it. Like, you're kind of doing great. Like, do you want to help be the face of Playdate?" They kept, because Playdate themselves kept promoting Root Bear as, yeah, like, the community spotlight
That's
game.
Awesome.
Was it on itch.io first?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I think I found it, actually, in the Playdate store. Rather than
Yeah, They ascended up to the Playdate store.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I do have lots of stuff made by cool people. From itch.io, but it's mostly stuff like 1-Bit Frogger, 1-Bit yep. Celeste, 1-Bit Pac-Man. Yep.
I did play through that 1-Bit Celeste. I played through the Celeste, like, ooh, unofficial port or whatever, and it was pretty good. It was definitely Celeste, but I was like, oh man, I don't know if like playing Celeste, like a really like button intense like platformer, is a lot of fun on like the tiny little Playdate like square. I think that was more meant for
right.
gentle alien door operation than.
It's more fun dash. For the twists. Like in 1-Bit Pac-Man, you can get a gun.
Whoa! Okay, that's cool.
It's very American.
But yeah, root beer, like, you get a tip based. They want it poured to a certain line, and you have to take like the head into account. If you pour it fast, the head will go down, and if you pour it exactly right, you get $7. And, like, if you're off a little bit, your tip goes down a little bit, and you also get more time. I'm not sure if the time is exactly correlated to how much money you get. I haven't been watching it that closely. I've been watching the money and the beer level when you play. But you use the crank to open the tap and the crank to close the tap. And you have
to get kind of in that... You're in that root bear flow state, you know,
yeah,
like you're in that speedrunner mode when you're right. in it. So
you're trying to earn more time as you play.
Yeah.
So you're going as fast as
yeah.
you can. Paying attention to the glass and the foam. And yeah, it's a fun game. Root bear.
I love that game.
Wait.
Ginger, what do we do now?
Recommendations.
Doop doop. Doodly doop.
Yes. Will, what do you have a recommendation of?
Come get I was going to recommend a podcast.
Okay.
I've been listening to it without you a lot lately. The Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes, you have.
With Jack from Cracked. The guy who turned Cracked into podcasts. And him and Miles Gray, the guy who used to be out of college. He was a lobbyist, but he quit that to go smoke weed and become a podcaster.
Wow.
With the guy from Cracked.
What a redemption arc.
And they do
He's fucking cool.
A news comedy with comedian guests like every morning. Tuesday through Friday. And yeah, the Daily Zeitgeist. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
Ginger.
Oh, me?
No, the other Ginger.
Where's the other Ginger? Probably playing video games.
I don't know.
Oh, shit! A
I'm going to recommend a movie. I'm staring at Whoa. Some of the things up here on our shadow board. Army of Darkness. I love that movie. It's so fucking funny. It's so silly. In one part, he says, this gun is from Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's our hometown.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. I recommend Army of Darkness. If you have not seen that, fucking Bruce Campbell is awesome. And he's from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, speaking hell yeah. of Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, and Free Comic Book Day, I saw that in the new series, it's like Army of Darkness Forever, or something like that. It combines the original ending from Army of Darkness that was deleted, where he went to the future, along with the ending of Bruce Campbell versus Army of Darkness, along with the ending, the regular ending of Army of Darkness. And so the Bruce Campbell who was working at S-Mart was a deadite. The Bruce Campbell who went to the future was the real Bruce Campbell. And they end up, like, fighting each other again. But they destroy the Necronomicon. And I just saw earlier today that after they destroy it, you know, you can't really destroy the Necronomicon. And it was reborn as a baby. With, like, a little pompadour that would just say, Necto, Necto. And so now there's the Necronomicon is actually a baby in the comic books.
This sounds fantastic.
All right. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Kevin, what's your recommendation?
I recommend going outside. It's finally spring, so this may be a time-sensitive recommendation. Because outside, not always very good. Sometimes even in the nice like seasons can be wet, which is not preferable. lately like it's been cool in the mornings and then it warms up in the afternoon and then mm-hmm. it gets cool again in the evenings, and like after like being inside all winter and having like seasonal affective disorder, just like being outside, having a sip outside uh-huh. of something, anything, maybe not Campari, but whatever. Like,
I mean, you can make a great. Good mixed drink with it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's ticking up a little bit. Like maybe Campari is good. Maybe I'm acquiring the taste, but
maybe you need
honestly like
drank enough of it.
If you make those
yeah
those spheres of ice filled with smoke, you put one of those in there, maybe that'll help.
Or like maybe eat drinking that with like some ribs or something.
Oh yeah, I think this is meant like to I think pair. If I had like a really like rich like meal to pair with it, like ribs or I don't
some
know.
Good smoked cheese.
Yeah. Oh, I actually I have that. I have some good smoked cheese in my fridge. I might have to break that out. That'd be really good.
Throw that in the blender with some of that and some ice. Make a smoked cheese yeah. Campari smoothie. Hell yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Everyone's mm. talking about the smoked cheese Campari smoothie. You see it on Instagram and it looks so beautiful.
I mean, we're going to next week.
I'm slightly terrified, but if you do this, please send us pictures and we'll do. Okay.
So my recommendation remains going outside and having a sip of something, possibly the smoked cheese Campari smoothie. That's blowing up Instagram.
As oh, that now. Is hilarious.
Uh-huh. If you have a lawn, go mow your lawn. If you don't yeah. have a lawn, go for a walk.
Burn your lawn yeah. and plant food.
Yeah.
If you don't have
Burn
a
your lawn,
lawn
safely.
Go throw some seeds out at the golf course.
Yeah, do some guerrilla landscaping with some
seed
wildflowers.
The lawn at the golf course.
Dandelions just can flow
oh,
anywhere.
You can find those seeds pretty easy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
They're just like around. And you get a free wish. When you blow the dandelion seeds, that's what that count. You get a wish.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was all that.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin.
Thank you so much for having me. Allegedly. It was so much fun.
That was all allegedly.
We love having you on our pod. You're welcome back anytime. Our schedule is And thanks for working with us as a schedule.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, for Ginger's new job.
Yes. Is there anything else you'd like to plug?
Go check out Super Try Games on itch.io.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's supertrystudios.com or supertry.itch.io. That's where all my games are, including Space Kings, which you can get to directly by going to spacekings.space. If you want to hear me talk more, I'm on a podcast called Goosebuds, and you can find that by typing Goosebuds into the podcast thing that you were probably listening to Grand Rapidians play video games on. if you're used to me at this point, if you like the stuff I make, and you already know, maybe you already knew about Bird Bowls, maybe you already heard me talk about Celasta somewhere else, because I keep talking about Celasta. Maybe it's time to check out givekevinmoney.com.
Love that so much.
You can join my Patreon, and the secret of givekevinmoney.com is you don't actually have to give me money. You can just sign up for $0, and if I have something important to say, I'm very unlikely to leave Patreon, because that's, you know, how I pay rent. So
valid.
Yeah, so if you want, you can sign up at givekevinmoney.com for free, or you can give me $1 or maybe a little bit more. That's all my things, I think.
You said Goosebuds. Is Goosebuds still going?
Goosebuds is still going. Ourselves.
I think I might not be subscribed to the right feed because I haven't gotten one in a while.
Weird.
Is that where you review books, or is that the RPG?
That's where we review books. That's where we review the works of Arl Stein. Pretend Friends hasn't updated in a while. We've been on a hiatus for about a year. But thank you to all Pretend Friends fans everywhere who've been.
I still tell Pretend Friends about that.
Right,
when
no,
I tell people about Space Kings.
But there was another one where you did that in the Goosebumps worlds.
Yes, that's the.
But that was a special.
That was a special on Goosebuds, and that was the Goosebuds RPG, and we want to do that again. We're organizing a tabletop game plus organizing a podcast is like one of the hardest.
Easy.
It's just do it tomorrow. Adults don't have schedules. They don't do basically anything. So
let's just record it all, and I'll get it out in 3 years.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, if you have like 4 or 5 tracks of audio that to work through, you just have to make sure you're telling a coherent story. And
yeah, no biggie.
That it sounds professional. Yeah, yeah, it's easy. It's easy. Nothing ever goes wrong.
Aw, thanks again, Kevin. You're welcome back anytime, like we said.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
We'd like to thank our Patreons.
Yeah.
We got Mike Gagne from Boston Harbor Horror Podcast. We have... No,
you gotta go slow. Fine, fuck you, Sonic.
Did you see? You just blew out poor Kevin's ears. It's like, wow. Dan Allen, I'm taking this shit away from you.
Dan, the movie seller, thank you.
We have. You fucked me up, asshole.
I wasn't trying to. I was just telling you to go fast.
Chris Copleen from the Retro Hangover. Ooh. We have Daddy Key, Maiden of the Veil, and JD Lowe. And thank you, Rappy McRapperson, for your intro music, and Inadequacy for your outro music. And Death to Fascism.
Yeah! Fuck yeah.
Bunch of Nazi. Subscribe if you haven't, Mom. Just tap the subscribe thing in that button.
Do it.
Oh, shit.
We do have like an email, grandrapidiansplayvideogames@gmail.com, if you want to get a hold of us.
Ginger, it's the best way.
Yeah. You gonna play some music? We don't need it.
Goodbye.
Should we mention our social media?
I haven't updated that shit either.
I don't give a shit. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck Facebook. It. We never had one.
And
fuck
Twitter.
X. I'm never on there.
Don't say X. Say Twitter. That's
fuck
a
Twitter
name.
Too.
I don't know how to post anymore. I don't know how to be online anymore.
I barely even like tell our friends when to do episodes without in Discord. I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, probably since we're doing it every other week. But
yeah, this will make some of it. All right, I'll stop.
All right, I'll stop too.